Great sages completely freed from material lusty desires devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty, and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagirath had a son named Shruta, whose son was Nava. This son was different from the Nava previously described. Nava had a son named Sindhudvipa. From Sindhudvipa came Ayutthaya, and from Ayutthaya came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraja. Rituparna taught Nalaraja the art of gambling, and Nalaraja gave Rituparna lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarvakama. Purport: gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, home, and home, because they were not expert in the gambling art. In other words, the devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. Text 18. Sarvakarma had a son named Sudasa, whose son, known as Saudasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Saudasa is sometimes known as Mritra Saha or Kalmasharapada, because of his own misdeed, Mritra Saha was sonless and was cursed by Vishishta to become a man-eater Rakshasa. O King Parikshit, King Parikshit said, O Shukadeva Goswami, why did Vashista, the spiritual master of Saudasa, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me. Shukadeva Goswami said, once Saudasa went to live in the forest, where he killed a man-eater, Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. One day the king's spiritual master, Vashishtha Muni, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cook served him human flesh. While examining the food given to him, Vashishtha, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Saudasa to become a man-eater. Heavy person. When Vashishtha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa and not by the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Saudasa took water and chanted the Shapa mantra preparing to curse Vashishtha, but his wife Madhyanti forbade him to do so. Then the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky and the surface of the globe, were full of living entities everywhere. So Dasa thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot, for which he is known as Kalmasharapada. Once Kalmasharapada saw a Brahmana couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa and being very hungry, King Saudasa seized the Brahmin. Then the poor woman, the Brahmin's wife, said to the king, O hero, you are not actually a man-eater. Rather, you are among the descendants of Maharaj Ikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madhyanti. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please therefore return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me. O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung Hari Hari Vipale Janama Gwainu Manusha Janama Paya Radha Krishna Bhajiya Janiya Shunya Vishakainu. The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body one can understand the instructions of Krishna and attain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness, but because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes bodies one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, in this body, he can fulfill the four principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And when it's properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is the success of life. To stop the process of repeated birth and death, go back home, back to Godhead. Mam eti, to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Throughout human society, killing of a human being is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in slaughterhouses, and no one cares about them. But the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. Namaste Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Dhanavane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharna. This will be a short class because I have to have an appointment.
I have to leave soon.
Here, one Brahmin is about to be eaten, and the wife is quite concerned. And the main point the Prabhupada is making in the purport is that human form of life is an opportunity to become Krishna conscious, and therefore is a very valuable asset. No one should eat someone who's about to become Krishna conscious, even if they're very hungry, like this particular Rakshasa. As Krishna says, Jara Marana Mokshaya Yam Mama Shiti Atantiye Te Brahma Tadvidu Kritsnam Adhyatma Karma Chakila. Those who are actually intelligent, who are endeavoring from liberation from old age and death, take refuge in me in devotional service. They're actually Brahman because they know entirely everything about spiritual activities. Actually, intelligent people realize that they're different from the body. If one hasn't realized that they're different from the body, how can one be considered to be factually intelligent? If we don't even know who we are, that's certainly not very intelligent. I was reading somewhere that one psychiatrist is talking to one person and he successfully treated him for schizophrenia, and the person was very depressed. So the psychiatrist said, well, why are you so depressed? He said, because 1 month ago I'm Napoleon and now I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. So similarly, in the material world, everyone wants to be something that they're not. Maybe everyone is interested in becoming, somehow or another, the proprietor of some part of the material energy, and therefore take some kind of happiness or enjoyment from that proprietorship. But this is certainly not very intelligent, because we're constitutionally, we can't be lords of the material energy. We can only desire to be so, and by desiring to be so, we're caught up in illusion. And that illusion produces the exact opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. We want to become the lords, become happy, but we wind up suffering the threefold miseries because of our illusion of identifying with this body. Therefore, an intelligent person endeavors for liberation from old age and death. And the method explained is by taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna one takes shelter of Krishna, then Krishna can give the intelligence by which we can understand things properly and therefore avoid the entanglement of acquiring a false ego, which will cause us to misidentify ourselves with the mind and senses for engaging and serving them, called sense gratification. And it's only in the human form of life that it's possible to understand this philosophy. This is called proactive, the actual meaning of proactive, not to start something new or to do some initiative on your own. The meaning of proactive, in one sense, means that everyone is faced with different types of stimuli. There is a stimuli for all the five senses and even stimuli for the mind. And according to some philosophers, the human being is not different from an ordinary animal. So as soon as there's a stimuli, there is a conditioned reflex. Just like with Pavlov's dogs, Pavlov had an experiment where he'd ring a bell and then feed a dog some food. And as soon as he fed the dog the food, of course the dog, before he ate the food, was salivating. And he kept on doing this, ringing a bell and feeding the dog the food, and the dog would salivate. And finally he stopped giving the food, he just rang the bell, and the dog was conditioned to salivate even without receiving any food. So this is called stimuli and then a reflex. And they assume that human beings are like that, just a product of stimuli and going through different types of reflexes, reactions. But proactive means that a human being has a chance to acquire knowledge by which he can discriminate between what's to be done and what's not to be done. Of course, that's only in the mode of goodness, where Krishna says, pravritim cha, nivritim cha, karya karya vaya vaya, vandam veti, vandam moksha tiya veti, putisaparata satyaki. Then in the mode of goodness, one can understand what's to be done and what's not to be done. What is binding and what is liberating, what is fearful, what is not fearful. Such discrimination is said to be in the mode of goodness. But if one's discrimination is in the mode of passion, yaya dharmam adharmam cha, karya cha karyam eva cha, ayatavat prajanati buddhisaparta satta rajasi. That sometimes one will understand what's to be done, and sometimes one will misunderstand what's to be done. And in the mode of ignorance is adharma dharma itiya manite tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitam cha, buddhisaparta tamasi. Those who think that religion is irreligion and irreligion to be religion, always striving in the wrong direction, such unintelligence is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So currently modern society is certainly in the mode of passion. Sometimes they follow some religious principles, mostly out of sentiment, and sometimes they are completely irreligious, simply following the dictation of their senses without any conscience, without any thoughtfulness of what the results may be. They're simply asking for prayas, for the immediate gratification of the senses rather than for shreyas, a long-term understanding. They've forgotten their spiritual nature. They're absorbed in materialistic consciousness of sense gratification. And certainly the trend is towards the mode of ignorance, where they declare that religion to be irreligion. As I mentioned some time before, that at one big festival in America called the Mardi Gras, where there are millions of people, actually usually 2 or 3 million people on the street for 1 week, intoxicated, breaking all the sinful activities. They're having barbecues right in the middle of the street. All kinds of sinful activities are going on for 1 week. It's a marathon. The big week out. So the devotees, out of their compassion, 1 year they went on Harinam and they were chanting in the street in great ecstasy, but unfortunately the police came and arrested them all. Took them into jail, over the weekend, and finally they let him out after the festival, and said they charged him with disturbing the peace. So this is a example of the mode of ignorance. Those who are trying to purify the atmosphere, raise people to the standard of human life, they're accused of disturbing the peace. And those who are blasting all kinds of nonsense music on huge speakers, committing all kinds of sinful activities, they're taken as very pious people. They should be protected by the law. They should not be contaminated by thoughts of God or any other such mythological creatures during their marathon. And as human society makes progress in the mode of ignorance, therefore they simply become more and more conditioned by the stimuli. But those who are making money, they like this. Simply show a picture of a half-naked woman on a poster, and everyone runs to the store to buy whatever it is. Toothpaste, shampoo, underarm deodorant. It doesn't make any difference. But they got the stimuli, and therefore they're obliged to have the response. And if anyone explains that this is not necessary, then they're considered to be criminal, that they're interfering with modern business, and therefore they're a threat to the economy. They're going to cause people to give up their spending, the consumer habit, and therefore the economy will go down and everything will fail because of this religious preaching. So that's what human life is meant for. It's meant for that people can consider thoughtfully, what is the value of this activity? How will it benefit me or any other living entity? So they can consider whether it's to be worth done or not, or whether there's another way of doing something which would be more valuable. Therefore, the human form of life is especially meant for hearing the absolute truth, or even some relative truth, hearing some knowledge coming from the right source so that one can improve one's existence. Only in the human form of life is this hearing possible. The animals cannot improve their existence just by hearing. One may train a dog to sit, or may train a parrot to repeat something, but it doesn't understand what it's doing. It's simply acting, basically usually just to get some food, or because that's the way it's been conditioned. Only in the human form of life is there a ability to use one's intelligence to decide what is Dharma, to understand what is Dharma, and then to decide to follow it. Otherwise, there's no possibility. And if one dies in the human form of life without receiving such knowledge, then generally one will take a lower form of life where it will become more and more difficult. Even if it's the lower human form, it becomes progressively more difficult to hear knowledge and to act upon it. As we can see how difficult it has become in modern society due to its progressive degradation. People are trained up how to play video games. Simply sit there all day long and shoot people. Someone was telling us that there was a video game in New Zealand, and the aim of the game was to run over people on the street. You get points for running people over on the street in the car. You get more points for different people. Especially, if you run over someone in a wheelchair, you get special points. And the max amount of points you get is if you run over devotees in a Harinam party. That's the maximum bonus you get. You played that game?
No.
He was let
the guy pin, right? He used to run up and play that game. Run over the. Like 400. He did the Harinam party, and like 400
is off. Took his car over to get some more points. So you can imagine the mentality of someone sitting there. I mean, he was a fortunate person. But you can imagine the mentality of most people sitting there all day long playing games where the whole aim is just to make kill people. Is to harm people. So certainly that's in the mode of ignorance. But that's how their people are being trained. And then they can't understand why people are disturbed. They should be happy. They have such an opportunity to kill people in the video game. And if you get bored with that, then join the army and you can just rain bombs down on all kinds of innocent people everywhere. All in the name of freedom. Therefore, modern society is certainly heading in the mode of ignorance, and people don't understand it because they don't hear from the right source. There are so many avenues for hearing. There is the television, the radio, the schools, the universities. So much hearing people are doing, but they're hearing all the wrong thing. They're hearing things which are just putting them into lower and lower species of life, or lower modes of nature, which will lead to their degradation. But if one hears from the right source with the right attitude, which is difficult, but if one simply hears the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, that just like in a dark room, if you light a match, the darkness can't put the match out. So simply by hearing about Krishna, in spite of all the nonsense we've heard, one simply makes an effort to hear, then one will become illuminated, even in spite of the fact that we're covered by so much misconceptions. Therefore, our whole society, Prabhupada said, is meant to create an atmosphere by which people will become receptive to hear and then to give them the means of hearing about Krishna, especially the Hare Krishna mantra. So we make the atmosphere favorable towards so that people can hear the Hare Krishna mantra, read Prabhupada's books, then they might be able to discover that they actually have a choice, that their real choice is not Marlboros or Camels or whatever else they have. The real choice is whether or not they want to accept Krishna's instructions and utilize their body in his service, or they want to follow the dictation blindly of their senses and mind, which wherever that will lead them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. We have to become stronger. If we become stronger, then Krishna will give us more. The more difficult it becomes, if we're just determined and relying on Krishna, then the more Krishna can empower us. After all, Lord Chaitanya, he got the animals to chant and dance in ecstasy. So we may not be as powerful as Lord Chaitanya, but at least we can get the two-legged animals to dance and chant. We should be able to become that much empowered. Some people are not that degraded. After all, there's computer games like one where they chant Garanga. Although it may not be perfect, the reason why they're chanting Garanga, but still, at least they had Garanga's name there, so it's probably better than most of the other computer games. Anything else? After all, Krishna is the one who makes the arrangements. We're just the instrument, so he'll figure out how to spread his movement. He's just giving us an opportunity to increase our desire to do so. But the more our desire increases, then the more we make progress in devotional service. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.